Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week.
A couple of weeks ago, we announced the launch of the East Campus. And we don't have a ton of details about that. We haven't made, we have some decisions to make and that, but we do know one thing, that we need to get that building ready to go. And so if you are interested in being a part of that, we are gonna be doing some carpet, some painting, a few sound, putting a new sound system in because we actually emptied that building out to bring it over here. And so if you're interested in being a part of that, you can go. And it doesn't matter if you're an East, if you're like, I'm not sure I'm going or whatever, it doesn't matter. This is a unified work of this body to help more people to come to know Christ. That's the whole purpose of this. And so yeah, we'd love the whole body to be a part of this. And so if you're interested, you can sign up. Go to our website, go to the sign up, and you can sign up, and somebody will be in touch with you to find out what your availability is, and that would be awesome. Also, if you are you really feel like you've been praying about this, you feel God's call, like, hey, this is something I want to be a part of, I know that you haven't got much details, but if that's something that's already clear, there's also a sign up for signing up to be a part of the launch of the East Campus. So that would be awesome. If you could do that, it'd be really helpful for us. All right, we are in Ephesians chapter 1, 15. Thank you, Sean, for reading that. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is so powerful. We thank you, Lord, for our time. We ask for your spirit to bring revelation and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Dave started us off in Ephesians, specifically talking about this incredible theology of so many things of what God has done, all the blessings and the promises that he has given to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this week, Paul is giving a prayer, specifically a prayer about asking God to bring about revelation and understanding in what God has already given to us. And he starts out in Ephesians chapter 15, or 1:15, verse 15, it says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love towards all the saints." So we know who he's speaking to here. He's speaking specifically to people who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done. And those people have shown their faith by how they have loved one another. So we know that these are recipients. These are people that have already received the gospel. They understand the gospel. All right? So then Paul goes in and begins talking like this in verse 16. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him." I love the fact that Paul begins just by with this prayer in the beginning of this passage, because he's I want you to understand that Paul understands how powerful prayer is. It's powerful enough that he would decide to write it down. I'm going to write out my prayer that I would have for you. And so he's consistently does this throughout all of his epistles. Why? He believed it was powerful. Otherwise, why even mention it? He just tells us what to do and goes on, right? But he mentions this through prayer, and he begins this by prayer. Paul also understood this, that what he was attempting to do was by nature supernatural. You understand what I mean? What he was attempting to do by revealing knowledge of God and who he is was supernatural. It wasn't something that he could do. Like, it's like he couldn't possibly do this in his own power. Like, I can't get through to them spiritually. I kind of felt like that might be like what Luke feels like when I talk to him about technology. He's like, he just shakes his head and he's like, Lord, I can't get through. You know what I'm saying? But that's what it was. I mean, Paul was in that spot. He's asking God, I want you to reveal truth. And that's not something that we can do except for by his power. So you see, the Holy Spirit, he asked him that he would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And this word spirit in the Greek is pneuma, which means it's the Holy Spirit. So what he's asking is that the Holy Spirit, which the role of the Holy Spirit in John 14 and 16 declares that the role of the Holy Spirit is to reveal truth, to reveal to you everything that is of Jesus, that's the role of the Spirit. And so he's asking the Spirit of God to reveal truth into your life. It's supernatural. Not just knowledge, but wisdom and revelation that would enlighten the eyes of their heart. In the Bible, the heart represents the very core of your being. So he's asking to enlighten. Now let me give you a little example. Elisha, he was a prophet of old. He was specifically a prophet of the nation of Israel. The nation of Syria was constantly attacking Israel, and Syria was constantly finding out that somehow or other, the king of Israel was finding out all of his plans and would foil it every time. And so he's like, who's this traitor among you, right? And one guy says, it's not any of us. It's Elisha. Like, Elisha hears what's going on in your bedroom. That's what it says. He knows and he reports that to the king. He can hear everything. He's like, well, we need to take him out. Basically, that's what he says. And so they find out that he is in Dothan, and they go and they surround the city in the middle of the night. And what happens is this. In the morning, Elisha's servant comes up and he's got his cup of coffee and he goes out on the porch and he's like, he freaks out. And here's what he says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. It says, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning, went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see what happened there? This is what Paul is asking of us. He's asking of God, would you enlighten their eyes that they could truly understand at the core of their being some truths about who he is? And when you talk about this revelation and enlightening of their eyes, this has to do with us being able to understand something to this to level that it changes us from the in our inner being. When he sees this for the first time, he looks out over that, he realizes that he's now finally seeing what is actually true, right? What's really going on in the heavenlies, he's actually seeing it with his eyes. And it changes his perspective. He no longer had to fear. He no longer had to worry because he looked out and he saw and he knew who was with him. And so that is what Paul is really trying to accomplish here. It's supernatural in nature. And he was asking for God to reveal to the saints some deep spiritual truths. And there's three of them. I'm going to go through them. All right? Three deep spiritual truths. First of all, look in verse 19. Actually, we'll start in 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. First deep spiritual truth, that the Spirit would reveal the hope to which he has called us. This is our inheritance. This is what he's speaking of. He's speaking of hope. And hope is not like the world speaks of, like, man, I'm hoping for 80-degree weather tomorrow. No, it's hope in which is built on a promise of truth. And he is saying there's a hope of the promise of salvation, a hope of eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 4 describes this. Inheritance like this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and it's kept in heaven for you. So he's describing what happens at the point of salvation. Is that you have given your life to Christ and you have received sonship, and now you receive an inheritance, and that inheritance will never fade, never spoil. And he wants them to understand this in the very core of their being, the hope that they have. Now, I have never maybe shared with you about my mom. Dave talks about his mom all the time. I haven't really had a chance to talk about her, but my mom was a godly woman. She consistently spent time in prayer. I would see her every morning before the Lord. She took me to every vacation Bible school and taught vacation Bible school all the time growing up. I like knew every Bible story before anyone else. I was like great at those games. You know what I mean? They have games. And she loved the Lord and she followed the Lord. Towards the end of her life, she was 68 years old. That year, she had arrhythmia with a real problem. She kept having problems with her heart and they'd have to reset it. And this was their 50th wedding anniversary of the year, and we were coming. She lived in Indiana at that time, and we were coming home. All the kids were coming home, and we're going to have this party on the 50th wedding anniversary. And that night, I sat down with my mom, and everyone else went to bed, and I just asked her, like, how are you doing? And she's like, I've really been struggling with fear of dying. I know the truth. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. But yet she was still struggling. And then she said to me, I want to share with you a verse. She goes, God has really brought me hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, it says this, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, everything, even the depths of God." And she goes, that verse right there has given me peace. And I didn't have it before. So the next morning, we went out and we had the 50th wedding anniversary, and all of her friends were there, and all the family was there, and it was a great day. It was awesome for her. And now we went home the next day, and the next morning, my dad called me, and he said, "Mom was just in a car accident and was killed." And what I realized was this, for the first time, is that the Lord had revealed to my mom the hope to which he had called her as he prepared to take her home. A hope that was revealed to her by the Holy Spirit into her heart, into the very core of her being, that gave her peace and allowed her to live in peace until he took her home. The question might be in your mind is, how does knowing the hope to which he has called us to this glorious future, how does that change our life in the here and now? One is, I don't need to fear death anymore. I can look forward to what God has for me in my future. I don't have to live for this world anymore. I live for eternity, because why? My eternity is there, not here. So God desired at the very core of our being is that you would understand the hope that you have. And if you don't have the hope, if you don't have Jesus, I don't understand that. I don't understand how you live. Second deep spiritual truth. It says this, "What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints?" Now, let's not get that confused. As you look at that, he uses the word, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. He's describing Christ's inheritance, not ours. He just described his inheritance. But the question would be, who is his inheritance? You. You are the riches of his glorious inheritance. I want you to think about that. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God." When I looked at those verses, I thought, what did Jesus have to look forward to? He said he's endured the cross, for he endured the race that's set before him, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him. What was the joy? The joy was you. The joy was those who are followers of him. That is his inheritance. Now, I just think that he's getting the shaft when I think about that. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like you shouldn't have joy over me. I'm a sinner, God. That's not how he views things. He views you as absolutely cherished by him. Like, this is my glorious inheritance. You are my glorious inheritance. Now, how, the question might be in your mind, how does this change anything in my life? Here's what I want to say. From what I can see and see with talking with people, the biggest struggle in which the Satan lies to them about is that they are not loved by God. They are not cherished by God. But what God desires in our innermost being is that you would see this, you would understand it by his Spirit, be revealed that you absolutely are cherished. You are not someone that is dragging him down. You are cherished by him. How does that change me? Number one, I desire to be with him. It's a lot easier to be with people that cherish you, right? Like, I want to be with him. Number one. Number two, I can trust my life with someone who cherishes me. I can trust my life with him. I can put aside living for my flesh. I know that if I'm cherished by him, that he'll work all things out for my good, no matter what. He's going to do it. Why? Because he cherishes me, and I'm his inheritance. He wants what's best for my life. And he desires you to know this at the very core of your being. The third thing, the third deep spiritual truth is this, that the Spirit would reveal his immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. He spends the rest of this chapter describing this immeasurably great power. This power that he used to raise Christ from the dead. This power that is far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. The power above every name that is named in this age and the one to come. The power that puts all things under his feet. Power that places him at the head over all things to the church. Now, is there anything missing in there? Is there any place, is there any other thing that has absolute power over him? No. He was trying to put that completely to the side. He has absolute power and authority, and it's aimed towards you. That's hard to grasp, isn't it? It's immeasurable. It's amazing that God, he was asking that God would reveal this power to the very core of our being so that it'd change how we live. I wanted you to read one verse to you, these verses to you. I just feel like these are the most powerful verses. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, it says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Do you believe that? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised. He was at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall tribulation? Will it be distress? Will it be persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or danger? Or sword? As it is written, if For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are guarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God has called us to walk in his power. Nothing can separate you from that. With him, you can break addictions. With him, you can break strongholds. You can overcome sin. With him, you can heal. With him, you can forgive those who you never felt like you could forgive. Charles Spurgeon says this: the very same power which raised Christ is waiting to raise the drunkard from his drunkenness, to raise the thief from his dishonesty, to raise the Pharisee from his self-righteousness, to raise the Sadducee from his unbelief. He is ready to raise us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. The question in my mind is this: how does knowing this power change how we live? At the core of our being, how does this change us? I'm going to say this: if you believe at the core of your being that you have a God who is completely cherishes you and loves you, I am almost convinced, and you know the power that he has, I'm convinced in my mind, you will pray more. Why? James says you don't have because you don't ask. God desires us to pray in this whole thing. I'm sure of this, is that you will walk in less anxiety. Why? Because of who you know you are to him and the power that he has for you. I know that you will be able to wage war against the enemy and win and walk in confidence, not because of your power, because of his. What I'm going to ask you to do today is something really simple. We're going to sing a song. In Ephesians 1:15 through 23 is a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer of asking God to break through in your life and reveal these truths to the core of your being. You should pray this prayer over yourself. You should pray this prayer over your husband, over your wife, over your children, over everyone that you know, that this is what God desires. And he's asking us to begin praying this over our lives, that we would actually know it at the very core of our being. That God would cause this revival in us, because this is where revival starts. Revival starts when he reveals truth to us in our innermost being, and it begins to change our lives, and we begin to live by it.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.